Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, December 10th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
It is Friday again. What is this Friday yesterday?
I think it was.
Yeah, that's how fast it's going by.
So that means today is Saturday, so I shouldn't be working?
No, let's just skip off.
You want to skip? Yeah. Let Todd take over. Let Todd take over.
And Todd can do it. He can do anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had technical difficulties yesterday here in the office, and also even with the program. We didn't have phones for the afternoon. And everything is up and working today, and we even had technical problems with the program heading into the end of the second segment and the third segment. So it was so bad we couldn't play it. So you listeners out there, you'll hear a little bit of a replay of yesterday's program or the day before's program. So because we chose just to duplicate Wednesday's program. So I know, it's just one of those weeks.
Well, you know, I told you we had two computers go out. One of them, the engineer got back on. We now having trouble with the transmitter at the radio station. So it's just, what are you going to do? I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's frustrating, but sometimes those things happen. But it seems like that it's happening more often, like the, and maybe I'm just totally off the base here, but like the infrastructure is just falling apart.
Well, you know, we used to do programs by the telephone.
Yeah, we did.
I don't think we ever missed a day. Hardline telephone.
No, we didn't. And the internet can be sometimes pretty undependable. Mm-hmm. It can work for really well for a week, two, then all of a sudden start getting glitches in it. I don't know, Melly, if it's something wrong with because of the no upkeep on the system or why it is, but it seems like things are kind of getting a little bit unsteady in a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
Well, we have, you know, there's $2 trillion going into infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, maybe put some in our work here in our internet or something. That'd be great.
Well, don't hold your breath there.
No. Butch, I don't think it'd be any good. Don't do a bit of good.
Well, we had a little bit of good in gold today.
Good.
Mm-hmm. We did. Uh-huh. Gold was up $7 at $1,783. Silver was up 21 pennies. $22.26. Platinum was up 7 also at $950. Palladium was down $59 at $1,848. The USDX today was down 0.18 at 96.06. Crude oil was up 1.04 at 71.98. And no bad news for the stock market. The Dow was up 216 points at 35,970. The S&P was up 44 at 4,712. The NASDAQ was up 113 at 15,630. Asia markets were negative. European markets were negative. So it's interesting to see ours were all positive. We got better manipulation people over here. I don't think they have a plunge protection team anywhere else in the world, but here in the United States.
Well, they're not sophisticated as we are, you know.
No, of course not. And so they didn't fare as well. So the 10-year yield is 1.487% unchanged. And inflation has surged to its fastest pace since 1982.
That's my first number one story. Mm-hmm. That's really powerful.
CPI came out today, and this was largely driven by the cost of energy, vehicles, and food, the Consumer Price Index. Now, just as a recap, that measures the cost of various goods and services, jumped up another 0.8% on a seasonally adjusted basis in November, a 6.8% increase on a year-over-year basis compared to last November. Now, this report is produced by the Labor Department. The core price index, which excludes, Food and energy are volatile, so we have to exclude that. Declined 4.9% compared to last year. So that means the price of other goods and services like clothing, haircuts, and TVs are also rising. And some of the biggest consumer prices changes in the past year by percentages, gasoline, 58%. Used vehicles, 31%. Hotels, 25%. I wonder why hotels are going up.
They have to pay employees more. They have to pay employees more.
Yeah, but that's, and they're not paying them 25% more. Meat, poultry, and fish, 13%. Furniture and bedding, 11%. No, they're just trying to make up for the lack of business during COVID. That's part of it. Let's see.
If inflation rates are 5% a month for a year, what would that, just think what that would be at the end of the year total? 5% increase per month for a year. I know they're going to be year by year, but just think about if they, and it's going to get there sooner or later, you know that. We're going to be seeing inflation rates 30, 40, 50% in a year's time. It's coming. It's already started. Obviously, it's already started. I mean, gasoline's up 58% from last year. You said 58%. And these car prices up 30-some percent since last year. That's a huge, huge increase.
There was a recent Gallup survey that revealed that 71% of households making less than $40,000 a year are experiencing financial hardship due to inflation. 28% of those are reporting severe hardship. Inflation is also negatively impacting people who make less than $100,000 a year, with 47% of these households reporting hardships due to increased consumer prices. While the Federal Reserve is currently gauging whether rates of inflation will subside quickly. No, they're not. I can tell you that. All they have to do is call 1-800-375-4188. But it's possible that the price increases will force the central bank to tighten their monetary policy a little bit sooner. Maybe rate hikes in 2022, and then we're back to the same thing. They'll raise it a quarter percent, and then it'll be like, oh, well, nothing happened. And everybody's expecting the world to fall apart, and it won't. And they'll gradually do it just like the frog in the boiling water. They'll do it little by little until it gets too hot. And then you realize, oops, this is dangerous. And so it's just, it's just another one of those interesting reports. So inflation, highest since 1982. And I don't think there's much more to that report. You know, it's pretty much everything that we talked about, the various items that continue to increase on a regular basis. So,
well, you know, you read those numbers and they're shocking, but you don't really weigh it out unless you think about it. And this is just a off the cuff comment, but if you spent $2,000 last year on gasoline, you spend over $3,000 this year at the current prices. And if you priced a used car last year at $20,000, it's $6,000 more, but almost $3,500 more than it was $3,500 more than it was last year. Just saying, well, no, excuse me, it'd be over $6,000 more. So that's a huge, huge, huge increase in price, Melanie. And I mean, if you're not shopping for the car, you're not going to probably notice it unless you go look at the car. But gasoline price, you notice every day when you put. These people put $20 in a tank, you'd at least get a half tank out of it. Now it doesn't even make a car burr partly. I mean, it's just the way it is. So it is hurting.
And we the thing of it is with gas, I think with the problem with gasoline is you can cut back to some degree.
To some degree.
You don't have to go driving around. You don't have to do this. You don't have to run. You know, you can cut back on it and save it for driving to and from work. But where it gets difficult is heating heading into the winter.
Oh, yes.
Sure, you can cut it back a little bit, but you don't have as much control to make it a big impact during the winter, and you need that for heat.
And add that on top of the food prices.
And then on top of the food prices also.
Well, those are the food and heat and fuel. You got to have some of. That's all there is to it. You cut back, but you got to have some. You just can't quit. A used car, maybe you can hang on to a car for 3 or 4 years if you have to and not worry about trading. But when it comes to heating a house and buying food, you don't have much choice, do you?
You don't have much choice. And some is worse than others. Some you can really adjust. Even your food, you don't have to eat steak. There are other things.
Back on that. But when hamburger is $6 a pound, so it's ridiculous. So, yeah, it does hurt. I'm feeling the pinch. I mean, I can tell the difference between here and last year. Surely I can. Anybody can. And so there are certain places, if you got to go to work every day, like you said, you can cut back on in maybe going out just for drives on the afternoon just to spend time and cut back on that. But if you go to work every week and you got to drive whatever distance you got to drive to work every day, that adds up after a year's time and increases like that. And it does make a difference in the paycheck. It just makes it not go as far.
You know, I thought I was going to be nice today. And I mean, I do it periodically, but it just bothered me more today than it has in the past. I thought I was going to be nice and buy lunch today.
Okay.
So I bought four French dip sandwiches and one order of French fries to share. With tip, it cost me $76.
What?
Yes. Can you believe that?
Gosh.
And those sandwiches were on special.
Almost $20 a piece.
Yeah, that includes.
Yeah, I mean, four times 20 is 80, right? You got four of them for 76. Almost $20 a meal.
Yeah, for a sandwich.
Wow. Wow. Gosh, that's ridiculous.
And when you're ordering it, sometimes you just don't think, you're not thinking about what it costs and so forth. It's just like, how much can four sandwiches, they were like sub rolls, the French dip and all that kind of stuff. And well, they weren't fancy. It was from a deli. It wasn't like it was some, from Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
Gee, whiz.
Could have gotten hamburgers from Ruth Chris Steakhouse. It wouldn't have cost as much.
Well, I can remember if you made that kind of money a day, you did very well.
Yeah.
If you had that kind of money coming in for paycheck, you did very well. Wow.
Now, lunch costs that much. Yeah. I was shocked. But anyway.
Okay. But this next article, do you have anything else you want to say about that? I have an article I kind of think ties in with this, but do you have anything else you want to add to that? I'm sorry,
nope,
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
Well, this has got me wondering a little bit. Now, I know there are rumors, I'm not saying they're confirmed at all, about things that'll make it, this maybe could happen early this month, and I'm getting to see some moves here that make me kind of suspicious. It could. Elon Musk, other leaders sell stock at historic levels as market soars, tax changes loom. Market soaring, the owners sell enough stock, I guess, take a profit, move out. I don't know, but it says company founders and leaders are unloading their stock at historic levels, with some selling shares in their businesses for the first time in years amid soaring stock market valuations and ahead of possibly changed U.S. and some state tax laws. So far this year, 48 top executives have collected more than $200 million each from stock sales, nearly four times the average number of insiders from 2016 through 2020, according to the Wall Street Journal, analyst of data from the research from Insider Score. The waves include up super sellers such as Colin Hanks billionaire Ronald Lauder and Google co-founder Larry Page and Sergey Brin, who have sold shares for the first time in 4 years or more as the economy recovery fueled strong growth in sales and profit. Other high-profile insiders, including the Walton family, heirs to the Walmart Inc., fortune, and Mark Zuckerberg, chief executive of Facebook parent Meta Platforms, have accelerated their sales and are on track to break recent records for the number of shares they have sold. Across the S&P 500, insiders have sold 63.5 billion shares through November, 50% increase from all of 2020, driven both by stock market gains and an increase in sales by some big holders. The technology sector has led with 41 billion in sales across the entire market, up by more than a third with a smaller amount, but even a bigger increase in financial services. Do they know something we don't know? Now, I know that may be a silly question, but do they know something we don't know? But other than taxes, these people are paying attention and paying taxes. Why are they selling off so much stock? Are they seeing something we don't see?
Well, here's That might be true, but I think it's because they know the taxes.
Well, yeah, they're going up.
I think they know that Biden and his group of Democrats and socialists are all coming after the wealthy. And why wouldn't you sell something and maybe go buy an island or something? And you know, I don't know what you do. What do you do with all that kind of money?
I couldn't even get to tell you, sweetheart. I have never even come close to any of that, so I have no idea.
So you go, but and they already have their yachts. I mean, you know, you already have your, you know, multi-billion-dollar yachts and, you know, homes.
Jets and everything else.
And, you know, so either, you know, he might be having problems with his SpaceX. Maybe he needs to put some money into that or something. Because they were talking about that going belly up or something. So who knows their reasons for when these, billionaires take out money.
It makes you wonder. It does. It truly does. Maybe the stocks are they know they're going to fall soon. That's possible with the way the markets are and the way the finances
possible.
Are around the world. It could happen.
Mm-hmm. It can. And it will.
So maybe they're moving because they think if they don't, they're going to be stuck with stock that's worth a whole lot less. Not just my opinion. Again, I don't know any of this to be true, but it's never happened at this record before in history. So I mean, you have to stop and think about that.
Well, there's never been as many billionaires before in history.
That's true.
You know, the thing of it is, I mean, how many billions, you know, how many did Musk take out?
I don't remember what it said on him. I don't think it said anything on him specifically.
Oh,
he just had 200 million each from a stock sale, so that's what the
you know, 200 million? That's really a couple pennies to them.
Oh, I know. 63.5 billion altogether.
Yeah, so that's really pennies. That's really pennies to them.
That is just unthinkable. Again, we'll see. A lot of stuff's coming to me in different places that are pretty good people sharing it. And I know they're not making it up. They think it could happen. We could see a lot of things change before the end of this year. I don't know that. I just say we could. I mean, the whole world is like a powder keg, and they're about ready to think of. So we'll just wait and see.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the world is a powder keg. And it just all comes down to the bottom line. I mean, here you have world markets, you know, have serious pullbacks overnight, and yet the U.S. keeps going on like the ready bunny. Keeps going and going and going. And we're going right into a break, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and we're heading into the second. I got to turn this phone down. Everyone went home on me today. I'm the only one here in the office, just like you, Butch.
Hey, I understand that. I'm the same way.
Yeah, everybody's good. No. So hold your calls until I get off the program. But 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, gee, what else do you think is something
to
talk about?
But I just want to tell you, the listeners out there listening to us talking, they probably think during the break we must really talk about some deep, dark secrets and intelligent conversations. We were discussing dog Medicare, but that's in case you want to know.
Dog Medicare. So everyone, call the White House and tell Biden, forget the socialist scale, add dogs to it.
We're talking about dog bills. If you have a pet and love, it's going to cost money. So we're talking about dog Medicare. So that's intelligent conversations we hold during the break, just in case you want to know that. Golly. Anyway, article here thought this kind of is kind of interesting. It said, what's tougher, finding drivers or trailers? The drivers we knew had been a problem. Trailers had been a problem also. Supply headwinds facing the truck industry were front and center at an investor conference on Wednesday and Thursday. While executives said driver recruiting and broader supply chain bottlenecks are ever so slightly easing, the procurement of equipment has gotten tougher. I would predict that at this juncture, and are looking out at the trailer OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, and the trailers and the tractor OEMs, that could even be more difficult in 2022 on production and delivery than it was in 2021, said Mark Rourke, CEO, president of Schneider National at the Stevens Annual Investment Conference. Equipment purchasing for truckload carriers will be below normal replacement in 2021, given semiconductor and parts shortages, as well as COVID-related labor issues that are plaguing the OEMs. Derek Leathers, Werner Enterprises chairman, president and CEO, said current tractor and trailer order books extend well beyond the OEM's manufacturing capacity for all of next year, meaning the industry fleet, which has gotten older and smaller during the pandemic, won't be increasing anytime soon. I think you see continued contraction or at best case stabilization for 2022. So what he's saying is, folks, the truck industry is not going to pick up speed and delivery anytime soon. They're having a hard time getting the equipment. They're not growing as fast. That means deliveries will not happen as fast. And if they find a driver, you got to have equipment with it. So that's just one that I thought was kind of interesting. This ties into it a little bit. As storms start, U.S. states struggle to hire snowplow drivers. You know, I used to drive snowplow. It's been a long time ago. And I got to tell you now, Millie, that's a tough job. Now, newer trucks, we used to have two men in because you had to have somebody that beside you would take the handle and jack up the plow or lower the plow. You go rail across, you jack it up, then drop the other side, whatever. Today it's all hydraulic and, you know, done much easier. But that's a hard job. You spend all night, and especially where I live, out in the boondocks, driving up the roads, and that's nasty out there at nights. And you're trying to stay awake and do that all night long. That is a hard job. And it demands your attention. You're driving a multi-ton vehicle, and you're pushing a snow plow. So it is a demanding job, so I understand. But now they have a hard time finding snowplow drivers. And we all take that for granted, don't we, Melody?
We do.
You know? I mean, if the trucks don't get a plow, we get upset. And I'm sure you have too, seen snows. The snow's so fast, it can't keep them clear anyway. But that's a tough job, folks. It is. said more U.S. drivers could find themselves stuck on snowy highways or have their travel delayed this winter due to a shortage of snowplow drivers. A reality that could hit home Friday as winter storms would start dumping snow from the inner mountain west to the upper Great Lakes. States from Washington to Pennsylvania, including Montana, Wyoming, and the Rocky Mountains, are having trouble finding enough people willing to take the comparatively low-paying job that require a commercial driver's license and often entail working at odd hours in dangerous conditions. We want the traveling public to understand why it could take a longer this season to clear highways during winter storms, said John Schwartz, the maintenance administrator for the Montana Department of Transportation, which is short about 90 drivers, 90. Knowing this helps voters to plan ahead and adjust or even delay travel plans. We all have been taking all these things for granted. Folks are chain is breaking, so to speak, that keeps everything running in this country. I mean, from electronics to electricity to truck drivers to trucks, retailers that need truckers to haul in supplies, now to snowplow drivers. It's kind of breaking, and if you watch it, seeing this, it's affecting more and more everybody. There's so many systems starting to fail in so many different ways. It's hard to keep up with it. There's no way that you can't think of it that far in advance. Because who would have thought about snowplow drivers becoming a shortage? But they are. We knew we had trucker shortages a year ago, but now they can't find snowplow drivers, and we're having a hard time getting new cars in yet. 2 or 3 years ago, no one thought about that, did they?
No, and what about the salt?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So these are things we've taken for granted for a long time, and there's nothing wrong with that. We were blessed. We had a pretty good system going. People were working, doing their jobs, and we all worked together and kept the whole economy moving and all the parts of the economy working. But it's not that way right now. There are parts that are failing simply because of lack of laborers or lack of parts, or some of them going out of business, period. I don't know. So this is a new world. This is what we'll call the new normal. I promise you the old normal will never come back. You'll never go back to 2018 and 2019. And that wasn't that great then. But you're never going to go back where you can walk into a place and depend on something being on the shelf that you want to buy. I was reading another article yesterday that the grocery supply chain is getting a little bit more brittle, so to speak. They're starting to run out of things, certain items in certain stores, and more often, the more items are being affected. You know, it may start off with 5 or 6 items, and you don't notice it right at first, but when you go to multiply 10, 15 items and 20 items, you start noticing the supply chain is not moving like it should. And we've all of us, have taken for granted, we walk into a grocery store, the shelves are packed. That is starting not to be so. It truly is. So this is America, that's the new normal in America. Was it planned? I think so. But whether it was or wasn't, it's real, and it affects you and I. Melanie, is that a fair statement?
It is.
So do you want to add anything to it?
No.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know that you know who Rupert Murdoch is, obviously.
I do.
And you know the Koch family, so I thought I'd let you know that this Murdoch bought a nice little ranch in Montana. Did you hear about that?
I did.
$200 million. And media mogul Robert Murdoch with his wife, and I saw a picture of his wife. He's got a young wife, and he don't look so well. But anyway, Jerry Murdoch has purchased a Montana cattle ranch spanning 340,000 acres from Matador Cattle Company, a subsidiary of Koch Industries. The price was roughly $200 million, making it the largest ranch sale in Montana's history, according to the people with the knowledge of the deal. He said he's going to keep it a working ranch and try to take care of the economy at the same time. So I just let people like to know how the poor people are living in this country. 340,000 acre ranch. That's almost as big as West Virginia. But anyway, that's amazing. Yeah. That's just amazing. The people as you mentioned, $200 million to them is like you and I spending $20. You know,
exactly.
They don't even think about it.
So that's what they're doing with their money. They're buying land and property and things like that.
And Gates is buying up farmland, and I don't think it's so he can be a farmer either.
No. Nope. Take it away from everybody else.
That's what they do, so they can own it all. You know, I'm not a fan of Brian Williams. I mean, Lion Brian. You know, he was disgraced for lying and so forth. But he's retired, and he took off the air. But he, I don't know, I think he did say some interesting things. I wasn't sure where he was coming from. And I know this is kind of, you know, a little off the path, beaten path here. But, you know, so he did his little, you know, commentary, his little diatribe as he was leaving. And, you know, right. He says he's not a liberal or conservative. He's an institutionalist. He believes blah, blah, blah. He says, but the darkness on the edge of town has spread to the main roads and highways and neighborhoods. It is now at the local bar and the bowling alley, the school board and the grocery store must be acknowledged and answered for. Grown men and women who swore an oath to our Constitution, elected by their constituents, possessing the kinds of college degrees he could only dream of, have decided to join the mob and become something they are not while hoping we somehow forget who they are. They decided to burn it down, and, you know, and it should scare you to no end as much as it scares like an aging volunteer fireman. And you know what? Whether he's referring to what the people that we believe or not, it's really kind of true what is happening.
Yes, it is.
It really is being burned down, and in all areas, there's so much division, and it's everywhere now. I don't think he was lying there.
No, he's not lying. He's telling us like it is.
Well,
can you think of, I can't think of anybody that has been touched somehow by this situation, some way, somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the world has, not just America, the whole world has been touched. Something is different in their lives.
Well, under so many, you know, different situations. And he says, a nation unrecognizable to those who came before us and fought to protect it, which
yes.
is what you must do now. And then he said something silly about his colleagues is going to take it from here. Yeah, like they're all part of it. They're all part of the problem. Because, you know, he's saying this now as he's leaving. Why didn't he say that when he had the voice?
Yeah.
When he had the voice.
It's like throwing a bucket of water in the fire when the house already burned.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he said some truth. He said it like it is. He actually told the truth.
Yeah.
Nothing is the same. It's not going to be the same. But he's leaving. And why did he leave, did he say?
No, he didn't. He just said after 28 years of working, it's his choice now to jump without an ed into the great unknown. He'll probably become some commentary or someone, you know. They probably get more and probably have less to do, you know, just by showing up as a guest here and there.
Him
so he's just retiring,
maybe.
I guess. But he's only 62.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was wondering about why he quit. I didn't see a reason why he did. So, but
no,
yeah, his comments were right on the money. I mean, they really were. If he would talk like that, been speaking that way in the past, and some more like him, maybe we could see some change. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. This next article is going back to some COVID situations, and I think this is important. This is in Canada, not that far from us, and it's showing how far they're willing to go to push the mandates or whatever you want to call them. Canadian, folks, I'm not making this up. This is real. Canadian province trying to starve unvaxxed allows grocery stores to ban them from buying food. Mm-hmm. Grocery stores in Canadian province of New Brunswick province have given the power to ban shoppers who haven't been vaccinated against COVID-19. According to a new measure which started on Saturday, shoppers who do not show proof of full vaccination can be barred from entering the stores to buy food. New Brunswick, apparently the first Canadian province that allows grocers to ban unjabbed shoppers. RT reports the provision, which was contained in a winter action plan announced by the New Brunswick Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd on Friday, gives grocery stores, malls, and salons the option of either enforcing physical distancing rules or requiring proof of vaccination to enter their establishments. Wow. Maybe I don't need to go to the mall. Maybe I don't need to go to the salon. But we all have to buy groceries. I would call that coercion, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I would call that. And, of course, in California, parents are up in arms because they bribed their children without their parents' consent to get vaccinated, and then traded pizza for it. A child likes pizza. He doesn't know what's happening. So they said, if you'll take this shot, we'll give you some pizza. One of the people giving the jab said, please don't tell anybody, don't tell your mom about this, I could get in trouble. And it's a true story, folks. You look up online. So now in Canada, in the province of New Brunswick, they're going to start telling people that business that you ain't got to sell food to them, you don't want to. This is coming to a head. In Austria, a third of the people are not vaccinated. They're been treated like less than second-class citizens. And the upper elite of the population are saying they should be vaccinated. Seem like the ones of middle and lower, income people are saying they're standing with the ones that don't get vaccinated. And so this is, it's coming together. In Australia, things are happening. It's all over the world. Germany's starting to really get cracked down on things. I don't know what they intend to do with this building. How far they're going to intend to push people, I don't know. But I don't see a peaceful way of solving the situation unless the other side quits pushing so hard. Do you?
No, and you see, you know, who it is. Of course, you know, some of these, you know, some of the courts are turning away the mandates and so forth, which is a good thing. And the thing of it is, Butch, it's so confusing. I don't think people really know what is truly going on. It's so confusing.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
The courts uphold the people's not, you know, not having to take the vax, but the companies are going ahead and firing them anyway. This next article about Buffalo, New York fires 500 healthcare workers because they wouldn't take the shot. He said time has run out for hundreds of local healthcare workers or employees who were not comfortable getting COVID vaccination. After a series of medical and religious exemption deadlines this fall, the final numbers are out. Because of the mass firing, there are 7 hospitals in the area that no longer doing surgeries, folks. While the county itself does not have a vaccine mandate, it is widely believed that Joe's mandate may have caused the hospital to fire 500 workers. No longer doing surgery. Some hospitals in the area are actually closing down in New York. Closing down. They're just leaving. This is what's happening. There's nothing normal about this. 7 hospitals no longer do surgeries. So where did they go get surgeries? This is for real. And I thought for sure that OSHA just said that they were not going to enforce the mandate on healthcare workers. I thought a federal judge in Louisiana shut that down across the country. Well, they did. They don't. The companies don't have to make them get vaccinated, but they're doing it anyway. And I hear music.
I do too. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom with Pastor Butch. And what's next, Butch?
Well, I'm just thinking, as you bring us back in there again, that we talked about the hospitals, we'll no longer do surgeries. Right? That didn't affect us where we are. But somebody's been affected by that right now. You know, somebody's having to do something to try to fix something. I mean, if they need surgery and can't get it, they got to make other plans. So that affects people, folks, and it's coming to an area near us real soon. So FDA, and this is remarkable. The FDA says that it needs 75 years to fully release Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data. 75 years, Melody. I may not live to see that. The Food and Drug Administration is asking a judge to give it 75 years to produce data concerning their Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine up to 20 years from a previous request. Up 20 years from went up, folks. The agency known as the FDA told the court it can work faster than the previously proposed 500 pages per month rate, but also said there are over 59,000 more pages than mentioned in an earlier filing. That discovery and a desire to make sure it can work on other Freedom of Information Act requests at the same time prompted the fresh request to judge to allow production of roughly 12,000 pages by January 31st, 2022, and 500 pages per month thereafter. At that timeline would take until at least 2096, Aaron Siri, a lawyer working on the case, said in a blog post. Melly, you reckon they're trying to hide something?
You think?
75 years. I don't care if you are 39. You ain't going to live long enough to see that anyway.
I don't know. It just depends on how long I'm 39.
But, I mean, these things are so obvious. You know, remember they locked up the Kennedy files, what, for 40 years?
Oh, yeah. And it was all supposed to be released. And they're not going to. It never
No,
will
it's not
be.
Released yet. That's been how many years ago?
Yeah. Well, Trump was going to do it. You know, they redact so much of it, it's kind of like, what's the point? Are you there?
I'm here, yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I just think what you're saying. Trump was going to do all that stuff. He's going to turn this country around. He's going to make America great again. He had 2 years of controlling both houses. Anyway, let's move on from that. But it is frustrating. They not only do they stick it in their face, they rubber nose in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way you look at it. They're rubber nose in it. Oh, well. And this is a sad story, but, well, what do you say? 54 dead after truck smuggling migrants crashes in Mexico. Rescue workers arriving at a road accident in southern Mexico found a horrific scene. A tractor and trailer jammed with as many as 200 migrants crashed into the base of a steel pedestrian bridge, killing 54 and injuring dozens. The migrants inside the tipped-over trailer were tossed and crushed in a pile of both living and dead. Wow. In addition to the 54 killed Thursday evening, at least 53 were injured. It was one of the deadliest days for migrants in Mexico since the 2010 massacre of 72 people. Volunteer rescuers removed the dead from the pile, while the living scrambled to get out of the twisted debris of the collapsed trailer. One young man, pinned beneath unmoving bodies, wriggled to free the lower half of his frame. His face winced into a grimace as he extracted himself. Nearby, a man blinked. unable to move as he lay on the side of the road. Next to him was an older, stouter migrant whose lifeless eyes stared into the setting sun. While the Mexican government is trying to appease the United States by stopping caravans of walking migrants and allowing the reinstatement of the Remain in Mexico policy, it has been unable to staunch the flood of migrants stuffed by the hundreds in trucks operated by smugglers who charge thousands of dollars to take them to the U.S. border, trips that all too often lead them on to their deaths. That is sad, Melody. That is sad.
It really is.
It truly is. But they're trying to literally break the law. But it's sad. I'd like to think that most people really are trying to escape from something to a better place. I wish they just would take time to try to do it legally. It may take longer, mm-hmm. but 54 of them dead in this illegal smuggling ring of human cargo. Think about this. These are real people. They have lives. They want to live like you and I do. They may have family they want to feed, and they want to live. And they charge them $1,000 to bring them to the border, and they smuggle them up. And these people are getting rich, and that's really trafficking people is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a sad situation. I can't help but feel sorry for them. I can't, and it just breaks my heart that people... there's no way they seem like they can stop it. I like to think if we would stop it at the border and really stop it, they would quit trying to come so much. I don't know. Anything to add to that?
Well, no, they're supposed to have that, stay in Mexico type thing, but
yeah,
that doesn't work. I mean, it does, but you have to enforce it.
That's
so
true.
There's a lot of things that are... there that can be used, but no one enforces it. They're told not to. They're told to stand down.
And, well, it's like our border patrol.
That's the tragedy.
It is. Our border patrol has the same problem. They can arrest them and maybe turn them back across the border, but they come back the next day, and there's really no consequences. It sounds awful to say this, but we are literally being invaded. And who knows how many real terrorists are crossing the border with them, Melody? Let's say out of every 10, every 100 is one terrorist. Out of every 1,000 is a terrorist. If it means come across, how many terrorists do you have in the country right now because of this? And the ones who come in, many of them are just sucking off the system. You know that also. We can't do that. But we are doing it because no one seems to care to stop it. Trump didn't get the wall built. Okay.
We have a caller. We have Craig calling us from Michigan, I believe.
Yeah, that's Craig. I know
Good
Craig.
Afternoon. Good afternoon, Greg.
Yeah, can you hear
Craig?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yes.
Okay, good. Side note, first thing here. These people are, whether they know it or not, they're economic terrorists because they're breaking the system.
That's true.
They come in and we start dumping all this money into them, and they're destroying the economy. But the other thing is 75 years for them to produce these documents.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the slowest thing in that process could possibly be putting more ink in the printer and having people walk up with reams of paper. I mean, this stuff is all computerized. It's not like it's on longhand and they have to, sit there and read it and type it out. And, I mean, it's available probably on thumb drives. This is the biggest bunch of horse pucky I've ever heard.
It is. It's total nonsense. Total nonsense.
And it just goes on and on and on. And I sit here and I listen to all of this stuff. And the only thing I can think about, how to cure this is, well, have a good store of food and a bunch of firewood and, wait till Jesus comes back. Because we're not going to cure this politically.
No, we're not.
The system is totally weighed against us. They have, and it ain't about money because they print the money. money's a, you know, that's a figment of our little imaginations. It's, you know, and money doesn't mean anything to them. They, if they need more money, they just print it. They siphon it off the top, and, you know, and we sit there with this, this pittance that, you know, it's like Braveheart. It's crumbs off Longshanks' table. That's what we get.
Well, somebody once said there are no political solutions for spiritual problems. That's what we got.
Well, that's absolutely, absolutely. Yep, so yep. And that was pretty much the old police song. There are no political solutions.
Yep.
Anyway, I wish both you folks a very good weekend, and I'm out of here.
Well, thank you,
Craig. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call.
Good call.
Thank you.
Good guy. We'll hurry through a couple articles. I want to read a poem in closing because I think it's very important. It's a very touching poem. But China vows to open fire on U.S. troops that come to Taiwan's aid. Folks, this keeps escalating and escalating and escalating. What's going to happen, I really don't know. But China military will heavily attack U.S. troops that come to Taiwan's rescue if a war between China and Taiwan breaks out, a possibility that is increasingly likely as the communist regime readies its war machine on Taiwan's borders. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's a matter of time. It's going to happen. But China has put out a warning, said, we will heavily attack you. Matter of fact, I'm trying to find the statement here. It says, the latest threat to attack the United States during any stand-up between China and Taiwan was issued Thursday. In the Global Times, an official Chinese Communist Party mouthpiece that prints the regime's propaganda. It is credible that the People's Liberation Army will heavily attack U.S. troops who come to Taiwan's rescue, the paper's quote wrote. Such credibility is increasingly overwhelming the deterrence that U.S. troops may have. Folks, this is, we're seeing this heat up. Revelation or Matthew 24 again being fulfilled. It's just a sad situation, but it's here. Flight attendants say they're nearing breaking point. My job is not to manage you, they're saying. I mean, it really is getting nasty on airplanes now, Mel. They're being attacked. People are fighting, attacking the attendants. I mean, it's airline crews brace for holidays, facing more unruly passengers than ever before. Flight attendants speak on increase in assaults on the plane. So, it said, my job is not to manage you, the one passenger that constantly needs to be reminded you to put your mask on. I mean, what goes on from there, and people are just starting to get very violent. And I understand they're irritated. I don't know what the solution for that is, but it is what it is. Any comments on that,
Melody? Well, it isn't their job.
No, it isn't.
It isn't their job to, you know,
people getting
keep
frustrated.
Them unruly.
They're the wrong people.
My question is, why are people becoming this way? I mean, come
on.
Aggravated, sit down,
I mean,
take it on the plane, sit down and shut up and enjoy the ride, you know?
If you're going to fly, you're going to have to do this. All there is to it.
You're going to have to do this. So, but it isn't their job. It's just like it isn't the job of restaurants to check your ID and to see whether you've been vaccinated or not. It's not people's jobs to do this. But you know what? We've been conditioned for such a very long time. You know, we've seen posters. Tattle on this person. Tattle on that person. Look, help us find this guy. Do this. Do that. We're doing their job for them.
Yes, we are.
Where is the airlines? Let the airlines put security in the airplanes. That's their job.
One federal marshal attacked on the flight.
But no, let the taxpayers pay for everything.
There you go. That's exactly how it works out. I agree. Now I'm going to close it with this poem. Let's help calm down a little bit now. This poem was written by a terminally ill young girl in a New York hospital. It's entitled Slow Dance. Have you ever watched kids on merry-go-round or listened to the rain slapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? You better go, slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Do you run through each day on the fly? When you ask, how are you? Do you hear the reply? When the day is gone, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. Ever told your child, we'll do it tomorrow? And in your haste, not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch, let a good friendship die? because you never had time to call and say hi. You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short. The music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Do take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over. Isn't that pretty?
It really is, and more so, it's so true.
It is true. And when I read that, I think back on my life and how fast my life is going. You know, Mom and Dad and their families passed on already, and friends and neighbors are passing away. Our marriage is going over 50 years. Yeah, folks. I'm guilty of this. I'm a type A personality. I get into it and just push today hard and fast. Try to enjoy your family or whoever you're with when you can. You may never see them again. I sound morbid, but if you love them, tell them so. Well, they can still hear you. Melody, I want to tell you, I appreciate you on the radio. I don't care who knows. I appreciate you. You're a good friend.
Thank you. You too.
I want to take time to say that because, hey, this song's going to end one day for one of us, both of us eventually. So, folks, take time to enjoy your life in Christ. Enjoy your life. I know all these headaches and heartaches and frustrations are here, but your life, try to enjoy it. It's a day you got, and the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. So, remember that.
Amen. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
That was a wonderful way to end the program for the week, so thank you. And we'll be back on Monday, so be safe this weekend. And until then, good night and God bless. I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.